Welcome to Growing a Fruitful Brand, where we discuss how to create and grow a brand that makes the world a better place for you, your customers, and your employees. I'm Ben Luters, founder and art director of Fruitful Design and Strategy, and this is my business partner and brand strategist, Raj Lula. And today, on the podcast, we're super excited to have Dr. J.J. Peterson in the room.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
You did it on the first try. That was impressive.
I know all that buildup, and it was...
For anybody who's listening, this is a live recording, and so if the sound's a little different, we appreciate your patience with that. But we're doing this in person. JJ flew from Nashville to be with us here today to talk about, since this is Fruitful's 10th anniversary, we thought instead of looking backwards at marketing... to talk about the next 10 years of marketing. What do we think is going to happen? So JJ, why don't we just start with that question? The world has changed a lot in the last few years. We're seeing new technologies crop up and everything. What do you think the next 10 years looks like for marketing?
I think in the next 10 years, marketing is dead. So good night, everybody. Thank you.
Oh,
it was wonderful. We had a good run.
No.
You know, I get asked this question a lot, especially I think because purchasing decisions and marketing changed during the pandemic a ton. If you haven't heard of ChatGPT and AI in this season, then you've been under a rock. So AI is clearly what everybody says, taking over the world and going to get rid of all of the copywriters and designers that are out there. That's kind of what the news seems to say. And yet, when I look at trends and where things are headed, where things are currently have gone over the last couple years in particular and where they're headed, I actually see some really exciting things on the horizon. And the first I would say is that the AI component that we're all hearing about these days. You know, AI, especially ChatGPT. So ChatGPT is the fastest growing user app of all time. So it basically, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it took something like what it took Twitter to do in like 3 years and Instagram to do in a year and a half, it took ChatGPT to get 100 million users in about 6 months. So in about 6 months, it became the fastest growing user app in the world. And so when it feels like maybe that grew up overnight, it kind of did. It kind of, once it, from its release till now, the amount of people that are using it is just insane. And so there's all this discussion about it, and there's a lot of fear, I think, around it in the marketing world. And one of the trends that I would see in the next 10 years is we are going to be obviously using that more. We're going to be using it a lot more. But I would say the way we need to look at it is more of it's AI, especially in the marketing world, is a tool, not a takeover, right? Like there is this, I think, fear that all of a sudden AI is going to take over. But the reality is it's a great tool that we can all use, and we're probably going to start using it more and more. But there are some cautions with it, right? You still have to have human interaction, people who are going to input good data, who are going to ask the right questions, and who are going to edit the crap out of it. Because I put in recently to ChatGPT, just kind of playing around, give me 5 facts about Dr. J.J. Peterson. I was just very curious. And of the 5 facts, only one was true. Only one was true.
I want to hear all of these facts.
Well, the first one said that I was the founder and CEO of StoryBrand, which I am not.
Take it.
So my boss would be very hurt by that the internet believes that I am the founder and CEO. Donald Miller is the founder and CEO. A second one said that I worked for a brand called Keep, and I was the head of their talent and development, which I spoke at a conference with the person who was in charge of talent and development, but they said I worked there.
Is that how you get job titles? Because
yes,
I'll speak with anybody. Like, that's great.
Write it in.
The CEO of Disney now.
Yeah, I'll put it on the internet and it will be true. And so there's things like that ChatGPT and AI, I think we're going to be using it a lot more. It's going to save a lot of time in creating marketing. It's going to save a lot of time in coming up with new ideas. But the reality is, it's not foolproof. It's still not that good overall. And anything, this is another big piece, anything that you create on with AI cannot be copywritten. So if you create an image, if you create a design, if I go into ChatGPT or any kind of AI and I say, help me design this image, and then I use that image in something I'm selling, it cannot be copywritten. And so there's a lot of stuff that people are not really thinking about when it comes to this. There's this panic. But I will say, I think one of the biggest things we're looking at in the next 10 years is how we are going to begin automating a lot of our the beginning phases of creativity and sparking brainstorming in the world.
I've already seen like in Photoshop and stuff, you see some, they're bringing all these AI tools in and they're like making all of the most boring parts of my job like so easy. And it's like, I'm going to be saving so much of my time in designing. I'm going to be able to spend it in actually being creative and coming up with better concepts than, you know, trying to cut people out of photos meticulously, you know.
Yeah, so let's talk about what those kinds of things are, because we're not just sitting here in ChatGPT and designing all of your work. We've got Jason Rothfuss from Red Fox Consulting in the room here tonight, and I remember when you were designing his logo, one of the things you have to do is draw a fox. That may seem super straightforward, but are you drawing a fox on a rock? Are you drawing it? It's not a Dr. Seuss book.
Don't worry about it.
But face on? Are you drawing it, pouncing? There's so many different ways.
And we explored all of those poses for Jason's logo.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can sketch it. And so if you ask the AI, hey, give me 10 different poses of a fox, that at least starts that brainstorming process. But you wouldn't use any of that material in the end product. It's just like, it helps you get that spark going.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's a great tool. I just don't think it's like a takeover. It's not, you still can't just turn over your marketing to it. And the other kind of next kind of piece, I would say, in the next 10 years that we're going to look at, trends that are going to happen is really, I think the companies that are going to get ahead are the companies that actually are more human in many ways, right? In that what's going to happen with AI and people who use it poorly by just kind of like putting a bunch of noise out in the marketplace is really we're going to be inundated with more and more noise in the market, right? More emails, more ads, more things are going to be going out all the time. The ones that are going to be able to cut through are the ones that actually treat people like humans instead of a number and actually have clear messaging to them. And that's what's going to win in the marketplace, because I do think we're about to enter an age where we're just going to be inundated on a whole new level. And most people's brands are going to diminish in that noise. But the ones that I think will cut through will be the ones that are humanized, the ones that actually treat people like humans. In fact, there's a whole bunch of statistics right now that are out there that really reinforce this. One I just read was about how 85% of people who are engaging in customer service right now are done with AI. Like, they're just over it. AI can be a tool that you can use in customer service in really powerful ways, but they are all now saying, I want a human. I want to be treated like a human. Don't treat me like a robot by making me talk to a robot.
Yeah. Who here would prefer to talk to a human on customer service? Yeah. You may not want to wait 30 hours, but.
Yeah. But, and so it's things like that. I think we're going to see a little bit of a season of inundation and people experimenting with AI and getting more things out in the marketplace, which is going to kind of be frustrating and overwhelming for customers for a while. But the brands that will break through are the ones who will humanize the message and create a clear message.
Yeah. I think Google's announcement about how they're handling AI shows that this is going to be the case, because, in Google's kind of counterpoint to ChatGPT when they were talking about Bard and the future of more natural search, they were referencing exact sources. And so they were referencing blogs that were written by real people or stuff that was written by the National Park Service. Because the more content is written, especially the more junk content is written, the more valuable that actual expertise is going to be, the actual experience is going to be, actual opinion is going to be, because that's something that a predictive language model can't serve us, is when a mother of four visits a national park with children who are, under 10, which one should we do so a kid doesn't fall into a canyon? You're most likely to hear that from another mom rather than from AI. And so even if the AI is sourcing it from somewhere, it's going to come from a place that has an actual human point of view.
And the reality is we are all becoming more and more savvy when it comes to being a consumer.
Yeah.
And we can smell the bull. Right? We can kind of smell it, and it's annoying. And in fact, it's insulting, right? Yeah. And we're becoming more and more savvy. And so people who are using just pure templates, there's some research on that templates aren't as effective anymore. Mass kind of just messaging to everybody without any kind of personalization is not working as well anymore. And so because we can, especially during the pandemic, email usage and email marketing rose incredibly because we were all at home. And so they couldn't catch us out and about as much anymore. So we were getting more and more messages, and we're getting more and more messages on Instagram, and more messages on Facebook, and more messages on TikTok. And we're starting to understand and become more savvy of where people are trying to trick us and do all these other things. And so in this process, if people just rely on those kind of things and just kind of pushing mass noise out there, you'll get some attention. But I really like the part that actually makes me really hopeful, even in this season where we're kind of becoming more automated and more disconnected, what I'm actually seeing is the companies that are going to be doing well, and this even comes from some research with HubSpot and some other marketing networks, is that the more you actually connect with customers on a human level, the more success you're going to see. And so it's that, those are kind of, as I look at the next 10 years, the first two things, it's like, yes, AI is going to rise and we're going to be a little bit more like automated. But the reality with that as well is that the groups and the companies that can actually humanize all of that and be connected with people are going to win out. And so they kind of are going to balance each other, I think.
I like what you said right at the beginning, though, of just thinking of it more as a tool, because, you know, tools are for humans, that it's not going to replace them. It's going to help them, you know, automate some of the things that are just harder, that just take longer, speed it up. But I think when we think about it as just something that to not be afraid of, you can be afraid of it a little bit. It's a little spooky if you spend any time with any of the AI stuff. But like, think of it more as a tool to help humans do even more and better work.
Yeah.
I would add that, you know, not just because we're creative people up here and just want to dog on AI, because I think there are a lot of good uses for it. But, you know, an example for this would be that some content that is fairly rote in terms of, like if you want to write a blog post about how to change your oil, in a lot of cars, that's going to be the same. A lot of things, it's a fairly standard process. And if you think about across your company, there are probably a lot of those things that are fairly kind of mechanical or could be sort of automated, or even the content could be automated. That stuff, pretty okay. You know, how do I apply for this, or how do I whatever? But, you know, one of my favorite, I'm not a very handy person. Like I mentioned earlier, my dad paid me to write when I was a kid and not to mow the lawn, and I only learned one of those lessons the right way. So
you should see him with the hammer. It's interesting.
But one of my favorite YouTube channels that shows you how to fix things, it uses, I think it's an F word meter of like, how likely are you to swear while making this repair? And essentially the closer you get to 5 out of 5 F words, the more you should call a professional to do that for you. And so even just taking an article like, how to change your oil, and then giving it that one human touch of, okay, so the process is fairly straightforward, but having done this for 20 years, I know that most people either can or cannot do this without any help. That little human touch alone is going to make a huge difference. And so I think that is probably a good example of the balance between, yes, it's a good tool that can help you get to second or maybe even third base on a piece of content. But if you put it out there unpublished, a StoryBrand friend of ours, Kenny Jong, he's like, in the future, your AI email will go to somebody else's inbox that will be summarized by AI, and then they'll reply with an AI email. I was like, oh, this sounds horrible. Like, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
AI purgatory or something.
And I think that there's a question there of, like, how do we actually intake any of that information? So I think the better world that we're thinking, though, is that the things that are easy to automate, like checking your balance on something, or, you know, those simple mechanical processes where sometimes you don't really want to talk to a human. If I could text Amazon, like, hey, help me return these shoes or something, you know, cool. I don't really need help with that. Just, like, shoot me the label and I'll stick it on there. We'll be good to go. But
see, I want to be best friends with the person that I'm texting.
There's a reason that we call him Sunshine and me Rain Cloud, and that may be on display here.
Can I be Thunder?
Yes. Oh, yes. 100%. You can't leave, though. You got to stay here.
Okay. Those donuts will keep me.
Yes. They're amazing. So AI, but balanced with human connection. I think that makes a ton of sense. Again, we don't want to be in email purgatory where our AIs are just talking to each other, and it's like, do I just not come to work anymore then?
I mean, that sounds nice sometimes.
For me, it's actually not what the humanization becomes in the next 10 years, I actually do believe, is not just like a nice thing that we get to add on. I actually think it becomes our differentiation. Right, we become different in the marketplace because we are more human. I believe that's going to happen, and I also hope that happens, because I think that in this world where, especially in the last 3 years, we've become so disconnected that people are longing for connection. And you know, there's a weird type, but even it's not just with people, but it is with brands. They want to be a part of a tribe. They want to be a part of a group of people who are moving with something. And it can be literally donuts. Like, I want to be a part of your tribe. I want to be a part of your donut tribe. For the listeners, we have donuts here tonight that have already changed my world. And so, like, when I join that tribe and I get to know you as the owner, and I get to say, oh, I see the joy that comes from you experiencing people experiencing this, and we get to get on board with something that is fresh and new and fun and exciting, and I can relate to other people through a donut. That may sound weird, but it really can become that. And that's different than a corporate donut making machine that we won't name, you know, other names. It's a different vibe, right? That becomes your differentiator in the marketplace. And when you can actually create then marketing and messaging that incorporates that human side of things, not only is that like a good business move, but for just like, as far as quote unquote making more money, but it is your differentiator, I think, in this season where people are longing for that. So that's what I get excited. Like, I do get excited about AI because it's going to save us a lot of time in a lot of different areas. But I also see that there will be a little bit, if I'm forecasting, like Nostradamus.
That's what we want.
Yeah. that guy, that I see actually the people who are able to step into that human side of things, that will be their differentiator. And I honestly believe that the world will be better because of it. And that's what gets me excited about that balance.
Yeah. I think a good example of that is in the room, if I may call someone out. Autumn Pruitt from Hardy Coffee is here. And we had a little bit of a logistical hiccup with the party today. And I called Autumn instead of calling, you know, the giant coffee chain, and because I knew, first of all, thank you for answering my call. Secondly, it was like, I thought she would maybe help me. And as opposed to some third manager at, you know, whatever mega national coffee chain. And so you build these networks, and you guys are probably all going to get a little bit of hearty coffee in your Christmas gift from Fruitful this year again. But we build those tribes together, and Autumn in her business talks about the ritual of getting coffee, and she incorporates that into, you know, Mother's Day having a photo booth so that moms and their kids can have a treat together, but also take a photo together. It's all of those little human things that just can't be replaced, you know, and that makes a difference. So whether or not she writes 10 blog posts with AI, you know, what really matters is that heart behind it, the thinking behind how do we make this a human experience is really what stands out to people. So we talked about AI, talked about human connection. Those are big things in the next 10 years. Something else that we've discussed is where is all of this going to take place? Because as you're talking about, content is going to be generated by AI. I actually got fooled the other day because we got a video sent to us with voiceover on it, and then it was just a placeholder, and then the video producer said, "What did you think of the AI generated voice?" And I didn't know. And I was like, "Oh, okay, that's one of the places we are now." Just thinking the implications of that for social, for other places, we're going to see a lot more AI generated content. And so I think that's going to matter a lot with our platform. Can you talk about that a little bit of like how are we going to stay connected to our audience in this new oversaturated world?
Yeah. I think one thing that's nice about where we're headed and all of this stuff is it's almost there's like a democratization of marketing. Like it actually like allows everybody to reach customers in a whole bunch of new different ways, even with, the new Apple,
let's talk about that.
Goggles
Apple Vision
coming out.
Pro.
There's new ways all the time of reaching people. There's a couple things I would say. One is that I think the mistake a lot of people make, especially when new technology or new avenues of reaching people come out, is they start with the form of how we're going to so they start with video. Okay, we're creating a video. Or they start with, all right, Apple has these new goggles. We've got to create something for that. Or Instagram or TikTok. They start with the form and then they go into content. And I would argue that in order to stay connected with people, you have to start with the content first and make it clear. Create incredibly clear stories that are targeted at your customer in very powerful ways. So clear messaging. You start with that and then it can go into any form, any of those forms. Then we take that message and we transform it for TikTok, we transform it for Instagram, LinkedIn, emails, blogs, websites, videos, all of that stuff.
And they all have their own style.
They do.
And you'll have to adapt it, but it's, yeah, you're right. It's
but if you don't start with a clear story, one of the things we say at StoryBrand is that, it's like, you can hand a monkey a megaphone and he's going to be loud, but it's not going to make sense, right? And so that's kind of like, to me, when you start with the form, is you're just like yelling noise into some kind of other tool that just adds noise out there. Start with the form and the content. Start with the content and a clear message, clear story, and then it can translate to all the other forms. One of the things that is interesting, because I've been kind of doing some research on this, is that a question I get a lot is email dead, right? Is email dead? Because we're getting all of these other forms to put content out there. And the research shows that in the past few years and moving forward, pretty much across the board, the answer is no. Email is not dead. That's one thing I don't think that's going to change, even in the next 10 years, to be very honest. I think, we may in 10 years be getting messages just beamed directly into our brain or like our fillings or, something like that. Like, you have
it's
to have a filling.
Yes, yeah,
it's already happening. We're going to get chips implanted. Like some of that stuff, new forms of how that stuff is communicated. But oddly enough, I really do believe email will last. And statistically, let me just, for the people that are in the room, how many of you in this room check your email every day? Okay, I might see one hand that didn't go up. Right?
I think my 11-year-old son did not raise his hand, so which is good. If he
and
did,
I have
it'd
some
weird
statistics on his age group too. But the reality is 95% of people say that they check their email every single day. So 95% of people check their email. 99% of people have email. 95% check it every day. And that's true across the board for all users. Now, when you talk about regularly using emails, the group that uses emails the most on a daily basis is age 24 to 45. they're at 91% would consider themselves multiple times. Like, I think it's 65% check their email multiple times a day, but it's 91% are regular email users. 15 to 24 is 90%. So even 15-year-olds to 24-year-olds are checking their email and using email regularly 90% of the time. The lowest group of like kind of that range is from 45 to 65 is like 89%. So
still
teenagers, yeah, teenagers are using their email more than 45-year-olds. So as we are looking at the future moving forward, the younger generations are still using email on even a daily basis. And just from an ROI right now, return on what you're putting in, for every dollar you put in for to investing in email, you're getting about a $42 return on that investment. So a 4,200% return on your investment. Nothing else comes even close to that. Nothing comes close to that in engagement-wise, on Facebook, Instagram, opening like ads, engaging with ads. Nothing comes close to that as email. And so what I see in that then, say when we're talking about marketing trends in the next, for the next 10 years, what are some things that need to happen? Is that in order to connect with the people and get a greater return on your investment and get a higher open rate and engagement, you need ways of getting people's email addresses. And essentially what that is called is you're getting their data, you're getting customer data. And right now, a lot of companies are relying on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of these social media platforms, who owns all that data. And we're using them and the data they have to reach customers. The reality is that is changing on a daily basis and becoming less and less effective because they are now the gatekeepers of the data for your customers. In the next 10 years, for companies really to survive, they need to own that data. And that sounds a little weird and a little creepy of like, you know, because we all are not real happy with like Facebook right now of gathering our data and everything is happening and data breaches. But the reality is companies, nonprofits, organizations need to begin the process, if they're not already, of finding ways of mining data, which means like getting people's email addresses, getting their phone numbers, understanding their buying habits, and owning that themselves. Because, you know, one of our friends, Amy Porterfield, she always says her big thing is don't build your business on rented land. So if people are just exclusively, and Facebook still works, Instagram, all that stuff still works. Like, so we use it all the time. We're still using paid ads on Google, on Facebook, all those things. Those work. But what works better is if you actually own the data. And so trying to figure out how to get personal information from people in a way that's legal and ethical, which are not always the two same things, but legal and ethical of getting people's information and then connecting with them on a human level. That is actually what will, I think, in the next 10 years, people need to be focusing on that. We've allowed other companies to gather our customers' data and own our communities. We need to start building our own community off of that platform. And the primary way of doing that is through email.
Wow. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're just building it on social media, I mean, you're just at the whims of the algorithm, which just changes. I think Amy Porterfield, when we were at the last StoryBrand thing in Nashville, you know, she told the story about when Instagram went down. You know, what happens then? You've got all these ads going, you have all this stuff, you're putting all of, you know, and she, what did she do? She went and sent an email, and that still worked. You know, and so there's a real power to that, to be able to own that and to not be, you know, at the mercy of whatever the latest, you know, change in the algorithm is today.
And what's even exciting, so all these things I'm talking about not only makes me excited for the next 10 years as a marketer and people who, someone who helps people with marketing, but it actually gets me excited as a consumer. If I have more control over my data and who gets my data, who gets my email address, who gets my information, that means that I'm giving it to people who I actually want to connect with, versus like on Instagram and Facebook where I'm getting these ads for things that I don't care about, I don't want to buy, and are incredibly annoying. And so these trends that I'm talking about, people being able to create video and podcasts and blog posts and emails with AI and getting that information to me faster as a consumer, I'm excited about. Connecting with me on a human level and understanding and being human yourself, I'm excited about that. And then also being able for me as a consumer to control who does and who does not have my data also is very exciting for me. So when I talk about these things as the next 10 years, I talk about it both as a marketer, that I'm excited for the direction that I believe things are headed, but I'm also excited as a consumer. Does it not mean that everything's going to be perfect and rosy? No, 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 absolutely not. We're going to be in more noise. There's going to be more things coming at us for a while. But I think the companies that I'm going to connect with are going to step into those three spaces and be able to succeed. And that gets me very excited.
JJ, you're the expert on story brand. Your doctorate's actually in narrative transportation. Is that right?
Narrative theory, narrative transportation.
Yeah. What is that?
This made up PhD.
Made up thing.
Not a real doctor, guys. No. Just kidding.
And so when you talk about, you know, yes, still use TikTok, yes, still use Facebook, all those things, help us connect the dots between story brand. So maybe even just talk for a second about what story brand is, how you would use it in those places, and then how you would use it to make those human connections and get the, you know, get the data, but in the good way.
Okay. How much time do we have? Cause I was one of those that it did take me 9 years to get my PhD. What I studied is narrative theory and narrative transportation. And what that is a study of story, basically, in its most basic form. So story is, well, let me start with narrative transportation. How many people in here have ever cried at a movie or jumped at a scary part in a movie? Okay, again, everybody's hands. You have, in that moment, whether you've cried, laughed, got scared, got anxious, you've experienced what's called narrative transportation. The story was good enough that you actually put yourself in the story to some degree, right? There was a time I remember, one time I was, I found myself praying for characters that were in a book. Anybody ever done that before? I was like, I've got to get outside. It definitely was, you know, like, you're a little too into this.
Too deep.
That's narrative transportation, right?
Was it Twilight?
Yeah, it may have been. Come on, Jacob. That's narrative transportation. Now, what the research shows is that when a story is good, whether it's read or told or seen, when you experience a good story, you experience narrative transportation. The better the story, the higher the level of narrative transportation that you experience. The research goes further to say that the higher the level of narrative transportation you experience, the more influence that story has on your thoughts and your actions. So movies, books change us. They actually change us. They change the way we think. And ultimately, if they're really good, they change the way we act. Now, the research goes even further to say that that not only happens in movies and in books, but it can happen in marketing. It can happen in as little as a tweet or an Instagram post. If you tell a good story, what you're actually doing is helping somebody see themselves in that story. They experience narrative transportation. It has more influence over their thoughts and actions. So what we do at StoryBrand is we actually help people tell good stories. And what I mean by good is that there are actually rules to how stories work. There's actually, story is formulaic. And every story you've ever seen and read that is meant for the masses is actually very similar. It's all very the same. There is a hero who, and typically one person, who very early on in the story, you know what they want. It's not confusing. You know exactly what that character wants. That has to happen in a movie within the first 9 minutes of the movie for us to be engaged. Then by about minute 12 to 15, that character has to encounter a problem. They have to get, something has to like get in the way of what they want. If there is no problem, there is no story, right? So all of a sudden, this person's sitting at home and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden a meteor crashes to Earth, and that meteor is between him and his girlfriend, and now he has to get to his girlfriend. If they're just, he and his girlfriend are just sitting on the couch watching a movie, the whole movie, that's a very boring movie, right? So a character wants something who then ultimately encounters a problem, and then that character meets a guide, somebody who comes alongside and helps the hero win the day. So that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's Yoda, that's Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, that's, you could look at every movie that you've, Mr. Miyagi, right? You've, any movie you've seen, there's like this older, wiser person who comes and helps the hero win. Then the guide gives the hero a plan. So you see in movies, you hear the phrase in almost every movie, what's the plan, or here's the plan. You think about every movie you've seen. Like, one day I just want to like sweep everything off of a table and put down a map. Like, that's my heart's goal, because that happens, that scene happens in every movie. Then there's a moment that the hero has to be called to action. A bomb is going to go off. There's typically a countdown clock. Like, the daughter who is kidnapped is going to disappear if they don't get him back in 24 hours, or they don't blow up the meteor in 2 days, or they don't disarm the bomb in 10 minutes. There's this moment the hero has to act. And then we as the audience know what success and failure looks like, what a tragic ending will look like. Everybody gets blown up and dies, or they live happily ever after. And we root for one and want the other one, basically that other end, to be defeated. So that's what every story is. That's the seven elements of every good story. A hero who wants something, who encounters a problem, who meets a guide that gives them a plan, calls them to action, that results in either success or failure. That's every story. And you'll see it over and over and over again. That's true in movies, but what it's also true in is in our own lives. The reason why we resonate that with that in movies is because we all are, in essence, the hero of our own story, right? We are the main character of our own movie. All of us are. And we live life like that. We encounter problems that we have to overcome. We know what life can be like if those problems are overcome. We look to older, wiser people to help us win the day. Those things are in movies because they are in us. And when it comes then to marketing, what we need to understand is that most companies make the mistake of making themselves the hero of the story. And they try to tell their story, but they tell it in a way where they're the hero. The reality is your customer is the hero of the story. That's who needs to be the hero of the story. So if you as a brand are telling your story and you're the hero of the story, people will not experience narrative transportation because they don't see themselves in that story. So you're actually in competing stories with your customer, right? One's got to win and one's got to lose if you're the hero of your own story. But if you position yourself as the guide in your customer's story, then you both win because you're there to help them overcome their problems and win the day. So that's what story brand does, is we actually go in and we look at a company's marketing and say, let's look at your customer and identify these talking points about your customer. What is it that they want, and how do we be really clear about that? What problems can we overcome for them? How do we position ourselves as a guide? What's our plan for them? What's our call to action for them? And what does success or failure look like for them? And when you create those talking points and tell a good story, then what you're doing is you're helping your customer experience narrative transportation. Your message actually then has influence over their thoughts and actions. And ultimately, it's a more gentle and human way of connecting, because what you're saying is, I see you. It's not about me walking in and talking about all the features of my product and how good we are. It's starting with you and coming in and going, I see you. I see your struggle. I see what you're experiencing. And I'm here to help you. And if you can't help them, then you're not trying to sell to them. It's actually, again, a more human and gentle way of selling, because you're seeing people as people and you're seeing their stories. So that's what we do. We come in and we work with companies and we work with agencies like you guys and train you how to do that so that you can do that for your customers, because we can't reach everybody in the world, and we want to help everybody we can.
Do you have an opinion on which agency is the best? No, I'm not. I knew it was coming. I just want the ChatGPT to answer.
To answer, that. Yeah, I'll put it in ChatGPT.
Maybe even just me saying it that close to your name, Dr. J.J. Peterson, might suggest that Fruitful Design is the best story brand agency. But, I mean, we'll just have to see what the ChatGPT says about that. So using those elements of story then, in the world of, you know, tweets and TikTok and all that, how do we get from there to email? And like, what, you know, do we just tell pieces of the story? Do we tell the whole story in the tweet? How do we get there to the part where we're building on not on rented land, but on land we own?
Yeah. So how you actually, when you ask the question to say, how do you build it on land? How do you get people's data, right? Essentially, how do you get email address? How do you make that initial connection? Is typically what you do in the story part is you're starting with your customer's problem. So if you can give your customer information or a product or anything just to begin with that solves a problem for them, and that's where you start with generosity, not with trying to sell something, but with trying to solve a problem, then that allows that connection to start. And then that gets the email address or gets them to follow you on social media because you put out a video that helped them solve a problem. And that solve a problem literally may be that they got donuts for a birthday. Like it's not, doesn't have to be like all of a sudden somebody has to be, every problem is solved. It's one small piece that you're solving. And then they will begin to follow you on social media, begin to give you their email address. Then once that happens, then you have to consistently communicate them with pieces of that clear story. Sometimes you tell parts of it. Sometimes you tell the full story. Sometimes you tell like you said, individual, or you might use three. Like one of the formulas that I like to use a lot is problem, plan, success. So somebody, I just, instead of talking about what does story brand do, if I'm in an Uber with somebody and they go, so what do? I don't start with by saying I'm a marketing consultant, and I don't start by saying I help companies with stories. What I start with is I say so many companies aren't getting the leads that they want these days, and they're not able to grow their business because they're not getting enough customers. Start with their problem. And then I say, what we do is we actually come in and help companies tell the right story and connect with the right customers by using story theory. That's the solution, the plan, and then the results. And when they do that, it's actually proven that they're going to have more success in connecting with customers and making more revenue, because that is true. Narrative marketing is more effective statistically. So I tell that short story, problem, plan, success. So, and that hooks them, because I don't start by talking about me. I'm starting by talking about their problem. And then they go, tell me more. Or they go, here's my card, or do you have a card? Now I have data. And now we go from there.
Wow. Good job.
And when you're having these interactions online, then I know in the story brand world, we talk about lead generators. How do you make a lead generator valuable to that audience? You know, so you've connected with them on that problem level, but we're also, like you talked about, we're also savvy now that it's like, I don't want that ebook because you're going to email me forever. How do we make that seem valuable to someone?
You don't want it to seem valuable. You want to make it actually valuable. Yeah. You know? And so in some ways, a coupon. You know what I mean? Like, if you're solving a problem by giving me a discount on donuts, I'm there. You see, I'm a little obsessed already. I'm sorry if I keep using donuts as an example. If the rest of you had food here, I would love you too. But like, just by giving actual value. Now, let's say we didn't want to give a discount. We didn't want to give a coupon. But it's like, just, we wanted to send out, say, we wanted to do on Instagram or something like that, talking about five different ways to use donuts creatively. This is like, you know, like one might be use a Dash waffle maker and make walnut, you know, day old donuts into waffles. And we start like doing something. Yeah, it's actually kind of magical. But let's say we start doing that on social media, right? We just start doing one tip or something like this. Here's something you can do here. Here's something you can do here. Here's something you can do here. Or educating about what it means to be gluten free and still have a great taste. All those kind of things. Those are things that start to solve a problem for somebody. if I'm then interested in that information on a more regular basis, because you've started solving a problem, giving me value ahead of time, I then am willing to give you my email address. We all know people are going to email us as soon as we give them our email address. That's not a surprise anymore. So as a business, you have to give something valuable enough that either is gives me information I don't have, makes me money, saves me, or makes me money, gives me back time, positions me as an expert, or saves me money, avoids pitfalls, something like that. You either have to solve a problem or give value. And when you do that as a brand, when you are a generous brand and give, I don't think for the most part, we've never been hurt by being a generous brand, right? I think that builds some reciprocity and it builds that human connection of that we actually genuinely care about your success. We're not just here to get money from you. So if you do that on a consistent basis, then people trust you enough to give you their data, give you their email address, and then you can email them and they know you're going to email them, but they don't care because the things that you've given were valuable enough for them to give you an email address.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, like you said, if you don't want to give a coupon, something that it could be is even just something as simple as, hey, be the first one to know when the new weekly or monthly flavor is out. And like you said, that's information that we don't have. And nobody hates the experience more than you get all hyped up to finally get the kids in the car, go to, you know, donut place. Would not happen at our favorite donut place, but get to a donut place and the new flavor is out. You know, and so it's like you want to be the first one to know. So you are providing value there. Sometimes we're so close to our brands that we forget what these actual problems are. We have to like take a step back and put ourselves in the shoes of the customer. You know, something happened to me recently. I started a 365 day challenge on Instagram. You do not need to bother following me.
It's Raj Lula. It's great. I'm learning a lot about Raj by looking at his photos and what he writes.
But it's just taking a photo every day. I've been a professional photographer for more than 10 years now, but I've never done this. And I thought that Instagram was an annoying platform that for elderly folks like me is just not working out. And you know what's annoying? I went from 400 views in the 30 days prior to when I started to almost 1,300 views when I started posting every day. How annoying is that?
That it works, yeah.
Yeah. And so I know that you go to work every day and that you eat, sleep, and breathe your customers' problems. And so you feel like you talk about it all the time, but you probably don't. I mean, literally, if you're not posting daily, that's a good place to start. If you are not sending an email every week, or sometimes more than one email a week, I mean, the average open rate on email is somewhere, depending on your type of organization, is anywhere between 10 and like 30%. So you could send three emails a week, and it's unlikely that anybody on the list is going to open all three. But it is likely that three different people are going to open them. So there's some of those things that's like, we're just not talking about the problems enough. We think that we're providing so much value, but we're just not, because it can be exhausting. And this is a way that we can use some of these tools that we talked about of like, hey, give me an idea about the next 10 emails to write. One of the things that we do with the StoryBrand brand script is that we take every section of the brand script, so there's seven sections on the brand script, and we will brainstorm with you 20 to 30 different headlines for each thing. If you get to the end of that, do 30 for each box, that's 210. That's more than 4 years worth of emails if you just do one a week. That's how math works. But, you know, like, and if you did two a week, it's still going to last you 2 years, and you're still always talking about how what your customer's problem is, what they aspire to, the plan that you have to help them get to a solution, what the solution is, calling them to action, what success looks like, what failure looks like. You're always doing that. You're not having to make up, you know, those really awkward, it's Mother's Day, so it's probably time to consider your tax preparation. You know, it's like, I don't know how these things are connected, but I felt like I had to write this email because it was the second week of May. So you really can not talk about your customer's problem enough, even though you feel like, again, every day you sleep, eat, and breathe these things, You actually have to say it. And the sad but true thing is, and the great thing is also that it works. JJ, we always like to give people a bit of action to take. And so I'm going to challenge you, if you would, to give them an action that they can take.
Wow. I think the challenge that I would probably give everybody is, we talked about a lot of practical things that can happen in this space, but I think what I would say is that I would challenge your mindset. So there's a mindset that I would ask everybody to step into who are business owners or work in nonprofit or work with any kind of organization, is that the thing that we really do talk about all the time at StoryBrand is that you want to think of yourself as a guide and not the hero of a story. And why that's so important when it comes to story theory is that in stories, heroes are actually weak. They're up and they're down. They're all over the place. Like, think about movies, like a hero, all of a sudden, like, they get a little cocky and then they fall on their face. And then they get a little excited. They get the girl and then they lose the girl. And it's just kind of this back and forth. And heroes are actually incredibly insecure. So when you are looking at talking about yourself on social media, or you're looking at explaining what you offer to people or what you do, or creating even a website or any information you're putting out there about your business, start thinking of yourself as the guide. Because if you start by saying things, if somebody goes, well, what do you do? And you go, well, it's complicated. Or they go, well, what do you do? And you're like, oh, well, you know, I kind of like, we do these, you know, unique donuts and da da. When you start shrinking yourself, you're actually in that moment making yourself the hero of the story. Is that a weird thing? Like, normally we don't think of that as being a hero, but heroes are weak and they're insecure. And none of us actually like to be around really people who are self-obsessed about their own insecurities, right? And so when you shy away from what you actually offer to people, that is not being a good guide and helping other people win. That's not humility. That's actually making yourself the hero of the story. So what I would challenge you is in those moments when you have an opportunity to put yourself out there from social or talking to people, stand firm in who you are and what you offer. And the way that you do that and position yourself as a guide, because the guide is the strongest character in a story, is there's really two elements that make somebody a guide in a story: empathy and authority. Empathy is, I understand and have experienced some of the same problems that you have. So just saying things like, I get it, I understand, or asking questions to find out what they're experiencing allows you to have a moment of empathy. And then step into your authority, not with bragging and not with grandiose kind of comments, but by saying, this is what I do and I'm actually good at it. You don't have to say those exact words, but that's the mindset you want. I understand what you struggle with, and I also have the ability to help you out of it. When you do that, that's a lot of people think that's positioning yourself as a hero by being strong. That's actually not true. You're positioning yourself as a guide, and a guide helps other people win. And a hero shrinks. They become weak. They become insecure. Don't be the hero of the story. Companies that actually can help their customers transform by winning their story are going to win in the long run. So always position yourself as a guide. Always have empathy, but always stand in your authority, that you know what you're doing and have the ability to help people. Because when you do that, then they win. They win. And that's what really I think all of this is about.
I should mention, because we talked about donuts a lot, we have not actually said the name of Square Donut, our favorite donut place, on the podcast. So I do want that recorded for posterity here. So to kind of just think through what we talked about tonight, let's be the guide to our customers and to our donors. Let's use new tools and new technologies to serve them. Let's make human connections with them. And let's own the place that we're building on. Let's move them to places that we have more control over the connection that we have with them. And
let's grow something good together.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on Growing a Fruitful Brand. If you found today's show helpful, don't forget to subscribe and consider sharing it with someone who might also enjoy it. If you'd like to work with Fruitful on a branding, website, or messaging project of your own, you can always reach out on our website, fruitful.design. So until next time, don't forget to grow something good.